Let's start with KU. You know, we had Brian Haney on, the voice of the Jayhawks, last Thursday, and I asked him, I said, isn't this a game that Kansas needs to win to actually show they're making progress? Because after all the hubbub after beating Texas last year at home, there was this euphoria around the Kansas football program, and then they certainly played hard and tough and hung in there with K-State. I mean, they never had a chance to win the game, but they were, you could see there was some progress late last year. And so then it was like, well, this year we got a better quarterback in Peyton Bender, supposedly, and we've got an All-American possibly coming back in Dorrance Armstrong. The defense should be pretty good, especially up front, and the offense should be better, and Kansas is going to make progress, and they're going to win four, maybe five, let's dream a little, six games and be bowl eligible. Number I had all along was four. Maybe they could squeak out five, and maybe they still can do that. But this was the first test for KU football this year, and that was at home against a MAC opponent, Central Michigan, who went to Oklahoma State and Stillwater and won, albeit on a play that was added to the game that shouldn't have been added, but they won at Stillwater. Central Michigan this year came into the game having beaten Rhode Island, who's not that good, in triple overtime the week before. And Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, told us KU cannot look at that and get confident because Central Michigan is a good football team, and you always see a lot of improvement usually from week one to week two. Central Michigan has a quarterback, Shane Morris, who was the starting quarterback against K-State in the bowl game a few years ago for Michigan. So he's talented. He was a highly touted recruit going to Michigan. Didn't work in Michigan, so he transferred to Central Michigan. So he was the quarterback against KU on Saturday. In this game, KU lost 45-27. Now, if you think Nebraska had a bad defensive performance, I have to ask you, perhaps KU had a worse one, which is hard to believe because if you're a Husker fan and you saw the first half against Oregon, you're going to sit here and go, Wade, you're nuts. Nebraska had a worse defensive performance. No. For a half, Nebraska clearly wins that battle. But the course of a game, KU was worse. KU gave up more yards. KU gave up more points. KU was at home. Nebraska was on the road. Nebraska was at Oregon, which is a much better opponent than Central Michigan. So I'm going to tell you right now, the much worse loss is for KU. And the worst defensive performance between the two, Nebraska or KU, is KU. And KU is supposed to have a pretty good defense. That's supposed to be a strength of this team. The KU defense against Central Michigan at home at Memorial Stadium in front of 28,000 fans, which is actually a lot better than you might think. Now it'll go down quite a bit.
Yeah.
No sacks in the football game. Shane Morris threw the ball 37 times. He was not sacked once. KU's got an All-American candidate in Dorrance Armstrong. A lot of teams are doubling him. Daniel Wise is supposed to be a very good defensive lineman. He's not getting penetration in the backfield very often. KU defense allowed 590 yards to Central Michigan. That's over 8 yards per play. There are breakdowns everywhere. KU was within 4, 10-6, then it was 17-6. Then they allow Central Michigan to go on a 90-yard drive in 65 seconds to close out the first half and go up 24-6. Now, in fairness, KU battled back, got within 4, 24-20, and then once again breakdowns, especially in the secondary by KU, not getting a pass rush, and Shane Morris picked them apart. What is Baker Mayfield going to do to this KU defense if Shane Morris is picking this team apart? Shane Morris, 28 of 37, 467 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Secondary torched, no pass rush. Linebackers had some breakdowns. Defending running backs out of the backfield. Peyton Bender, supposed to be an improvement at quarterback, threw the ball 62 times, completed 32 for 323, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Here's an amazing statistic from the KU loss the other day. They lost by 18 points. Do you know how many snaps they had offensively in this game?
Well, if they had 62 passes, I'm going to say it's over 80.
They had 96 offensive plays and lost by 18.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. Steven Sims, they lost him early in the game, ankle sprain. He'd been battling it all week long. That was a big blow to the passing game. He is their best receiver by far. The Dylan Charlotte kid from Alabama, the transfer, has done nothing. So he's all overrated and all talk and no action yet. But here's the thing I'm going to say about KU fans that honestly have probably already moved on to basketball and maybe don't care too much. But there's a lot of social media, as you can imagine, Twitter, Facebook, saying, and even Blair Kirchhoff, which I thought his article wasn't very great. Kansas City Star. I mean, he had some good points in it, but then he's sitting here, well, another loss like this, and David Beatty's on the hot seat. That's baloney. David Beatty's not on the hot seat. First of all, who the bleep is going to take that job if you fire David Beatty?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Shane Zinger just gave him more money, doubled his salary, giving him bonuses for winning games, and they're going to, I would be very surprised if Shane Zinger doesn't give David Beatty the full 5 years. This is year three. Give him 5 years. He deserves that based on what he inherited. Yes, this is the third year of his recruits. It takes time. I mean, it's going to take time. And if all these KU football fans, and there's not a lot of diehards out there, first of all, KU football is not that important to the KU fans until they start winning because it's a basketball school, okay? Here's the thing I heard the other day from someone, which I get there where they're going with it, but I disagree. They say, well, the only way KU is going to be good at football again is they have to have a marquee coach. Well, that would be nice in La La Land. But first of all, Nick Saban ain't walking through those doors in Lawrence, okay? Urban Meyer, the marquee coaches. How many marquee coaches are there in college football?
I was going to say,
five?
How many marquee coaches have even sniffed KU's coaching staff?
Right. Right.
You know, like Mark Mangino wasn't a marquee coach when he came.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to go with this.
Charlie Weiss, he doesn't count.
He was a marquee coach. Here's where I want to go with this comment. First of all, when you sit here and you say, well, we need a marquee coach for KU to get where they need to be. Was Mark Mangino a marquee coach when he was a head coach at the University of Kansas? Because he went 12-1. They ranked second in the country. And had they beat Missouri, they would have been the Big 12 title game. Had they won that, they'd played for a national championship. That's right. It happened, people. I know it was, 2007-8, 10 years ago, we so quickly forget. Was Mark Mangino a marquee coach? Mark Mangino went winless in his first season at KU. But in 8 years, he had a winning record. 50-48, won an Orange Bowl. Let me tell you something. If Mark Mangino, who was not a marquee coach, can lead Kansas to a 12-win season, win an Orange Bowl, and can have a winning record in 8 seasons at the University of Kansas in football, then yes, somebody else can do it. Secondly, if you want to get a marquee coach to come to Kansas, you're going to have to pay twice as much money. What are marquee coaches going for right now? Jim Harbaugh, I don't even know if he's a marquee coach. Jim Harbaugh is going for $8 million a year. You're going to give him $15 million a year to coach football? That's not happening. And even if it was offered, I don't know if it would even be taken by Jim Harbaugh.
Remember when everybody said he was going to go to KU back when Mangino was gone?
What a joke. His connections to KU in Kansas City.
Yeah, leave Stanford and go to KU.
Go to KU. That makes total sense. Okay, so here's the other thing. So he's like, well, you need a marquee coach for KU to be good again. Well, here's where I'll agree with this person, except they're not seeing it the same way. Was Bill Snyder a marquee coach when he took the job at Manhattan?
Nobody knew Bill Snyder when he took the job at Manhattan.
Is he a marquee coach now?
Yes.
Thank you. There's my point. David Beatty might be your marquee coach right now, and you don't even know it. David Beatty might be the next Bill Snyder. You might not even know it. The only way you're going to have a marquee coach at the University of Kansas is you develop that coach or he develops into a marquee coach. I'm going to tell you something right now. If David Beatty does what Mark Mangino did and gets the team eventually to 12-1 and wins a major bowl, he's a marquee coach. Period. End of story. He should be given as much money as KU can give a football coach ever. They shouldn't run him out after going 5-0 a few years later and then, lost 7-0. Let's run him out of town. And David Beatty should go ahead and just listen to all the offers he'll get from across America because there'll be people backing up the Brinks truck to pay David Beatty. Does Kansas need a marquee coach? Yes, they do need a marquee coach to be successful. But here's the thing. It isn't going to be a coach that's marquee right off the bat. You aren't getting Urban Meyer. You're not getting Jim Harbaugh. You're not getting Nick Saban. You're not getting James Franklin, who's not even a marquee coach yet. You're not getting a Bill Snyder. You're not getting a Bob Stoops. Those people aren't coming to Kansas. So if you're going to tell me, well, they have to have a marquee coach to be good again, that's impossible. It will not happen. But if you want to play off your own words and you say you have to have a marquee coach to get KU where they need to go, I will agree with you, but it has to be a coach that becomes a marquee coach at the University of Kansas. So, just like Bill Snyder, was he a marquee coach when he was hired in 89? Nobody knew much about the guy, other than he's a moron for taking the job. No. What is he thinking? And now he's sitting here going, we're going to turn it around. Okay, whatever, Bill. Well, he did. And he's a marquee coach now because he backed it up. He turned around the program. David Beatty can do a similar thing at the University of Kansas. And 4 or 5 years from now, he could very well be a coach that's going to multiple bowl games year after year. He's going to a bowl game. He could be Bill Snyder light, and he could be 7-5, 8-4, maybe 9-3. Maybe once the blue moon, he wins 10 games. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's not possible because I never thought KU would go 12-1 and win the Orange Bowl. Did anybody think that? Did anybody think when Bill Snyder was hired in 89 that they would be have a chance to beat Texas A&M in the Big 12 title game and be in the national championship? Did anybody dream that?
No.
That's why you don't give up now. Come on, man. It's sports. Did anybody think the Royals were going to win a World Series in 2015 or 14 back in 1995 or 2003 when they lost 106 games? That was 2004. Are you kidding me? No, you can't dream it because you can't believe it would even be possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. Would anybody dream the Dodgers would lose 15 out of 16 games right now and lose 10 in a row after being unbeatable and on pace to set a record for wins in the season? No.
No.
But if you're going to sit here and tell me that KU has to have a marquee coach, they have to – here's the key. If you're going to tell me that they have to bring in a marquee coach, you're crazy.
You're living in a different
world. You're living in a whole different world, and you're not even on this planet called Earth. But if you mean –
it's like saying K-State basketball needs to bring in Roy Williams. Yeah. Let's do it. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, sure.
We
why not?
Marquee coach. Let's bring him in.
Sure. You're going to have to pay double. If you wanted Nick Saban or Urban Meyer to come to the University of Kansas, you'd have to pay him probably $12 to $20 million a year. I'm not joking. It would be somewhere in that range to even get him to listen to you, okay?
Yeah.
And that I don't think he'd even take either. So you're not going to get a marquee coach already, a marquee coach coming to Kansas, all right? That ain't happening, all right? That's not happening. But if you want to argue we need a marquee coach to turn it around, that's got to be a guy that develops into a marquee coach. And it might be Clint Bowen, who's on your staff, who had an interim chance. It could be David Beatty. It could be another guy on your staff. It could be Doug Meacham. It could be a guy you've never heard of at Appalachian State right now that's going to be the marquee coach that's going to turn the University of Kansas football program around 12 years from now. It could be a current KU player that ends up going into coaching. The point I'm trying to make is, yes, KU needs a guy to be a marquee coach to turn it around. I would have to say you have to be a marquee coach to turn around this mess and what he inherited. But to say they have to bring in a marquee coach, that's laughable. It's flat out comical.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're sitting here giving up on the football program and saying it can't be done, it was done 10 years ago. It was just done.
Yeah. Well, and Mark Mangino
was on.
Look
at Manhattan. It's been done.
Yeah, Mark Mangino was on his way to doing that and then had, you know, he fell off a little bit the year after the Orange Bowl. And then obviously you talked about the 5-0 start. And
they're ranked in the top 15. They're 5-0.
Yeah.
Todd Reesing. And then they had some injuries and then it fell apart, snowballed, lose 7 in a row. Well, that's it. We're at KU, we're traditionally known for our Orange Bowl appearances.
Yeah. So and you brought up a good thing during all that, though, for me, and I realize that you're talking about a marquee coach turning KU around, but if David Beatty does what you said, like you said, they're going to have the Brinks truck backing in, David Beatty's taking Kevin Sumlin's job.
Yeah, at A&M.
I mean, if David Beatty does that with his ties to the South and Southeast Conference, it's tough for me to think that he's going to stay at Kansas if somebody comes in and gives him all that and says, hey, come back home. Come back down to the South here and take a job in the SEC. We're going to give you all this money. So that's another part of the tough part of having a coach and doing that at Kansas. And I know that KU's in a Power 5 conference for now. We don't know what it would be when he turns it around and does that. You never know what the situation of the Big 12 would even be at that point, too. But you're just like, I don't know that – I don't know David Beatty well enough to know if he's a guy that would pass all that up and take just slightly less money from KU so they could keep him around. I don't know. But
I don't think he's a lifer.
No, I don't either. That's where I'm going. But I don't know him well enough. I don't know enough about him. But
he's not.
I wouldn't think he is.
I don't think he's going to be a Bill Snyder in that regard and be a lifer at KU. I don't think. But we shall see. KU has lost 44 in a row on the road. I didn't realize it was that bad. They've lost 44 games in a row on the road. They'll go to Ohio Saturday, 11 a.m. They've moved that game from 1 p.m. to 11 a.m. Pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. I want to tell KU football fans, you need to be a little bit patient here. Those that are freaking out already and telling us that we need to fire David Beatty, once again, who's going to walk in the door and coach this team and program? It's a mess, or it has been. It's a little better than it was. It's a process, and like somebody was holding up a sign, trust the process. You know, K-State didn't just go out there, Bill Snyder, and right away turn it around and win tons of games, okay? They got respectable. It was a process. They gradually got better. They did. They got better, better, better. And that's what you want to see, better, better, better. If KU wins three or four games this year, that's better. That's progress. They still can do that. Baylor looks bad, so you think they could beat Baylor the way that's going. And if you go win at Ohio, I think most KU fans would have said they're going to go 2-1 in the non-con. Now, if you go win at Ohio against Frank Solich's Bobcats, who kind of spanked you last year in Lawrence, but if you go up there and win that game, okay, now you're back on track. You're 2-1, and if you can win two Big 12 games, which I think Iowa State you can beat, although they played well against Iowa, you can beat Baylor. Okay, now maybe Texas Tech is doable. I mean, they beat Texas last year. Texas doesn't have a defense, so you might be able to get the 4 wins or 5. So just because they lost Central Michigan doesn't mean the season's over, but yet that's how some people are already treating it. Like, well, we lost to Central Michigan and the season's over. It's like, man, first of all, you got a brand-new quarterback. You got a brand-new offensive coordinator. You got a different type of offense. You're missing your top wide receiver in the game. Dorrance Armstrong's got to adjust because now he's a hunted man on defense. I mean, it's too early to give up on this team after two games because they have one horrible performance. It is a process. And if you're going to jump off the ship already as a KU football fan, then you're not a fan. You're not a fan at all. You don't understand what's going on with your football program. You're one of those fans that when they got to be 12-1, jumped on and talked about tradition of football, and then as soon as they go bad, you jumped off the ship immediately. All right? You're one of those fans. Because if you're sitting here today telling everybody, well, KU football sucks, and David Beatty's horrible, we need a new head coach, then you don't understand at all.
Yeah. And it's just, it's impossible to think about somebody coming in and taking that program when you've, okay, so if you get a new coach, if you fire David Beatty at the end of this year, get a new coach, that would be your fourth coach at the start of the ninth season. So you've got three coaches in 8 years. That's an average of not even 3 years per coach. Yeah. Who's going to take that job? If I'm not going to get enough time to turn this, I'm not even getting a full 3 years to turn this thing around, because David Beatty wouldn't get a full 3 years.
Right.
You know, this would happen kind of like with Prince did. It'd be like, you know, probably the eighth, ninth game of the year, they'd know. Mm-hmm. They're like, eh, we're not going to bring you back. Sorry, your job's going to be done. Now, they probably wouldn't announce that with David Beatty at KU like they did at K-State. But, you know, it's like three coaches in eight seasons, and now you're going to on your fourth coach in nine seasons. Who's going to take that job? Who's going to be like, yeah, I don't want to go into that situation where I don't even get – I get 2.5 years to turn it around.
You're also in the shadow of KU men's basketball. You're not even the big man on campus. So that's another thing to keep some coaches away. You want to be the dog on campus, the top dog. It's not a desirable job. It isn't. And that's why, you know, when they ran Mangino out of town, and I know there was extenuating factors. I get it. All right? But I still come back to, I can't believe Mark Mangino went from just turned in those seven games to this unbelievable, horrible person. Yeah. Because Mark Mangino had issues before that with anger. He got thrown out of his own high school, his kid's high school game, for crying out loud, before he...
That was when he wasn't even in Lawrence yet.
Yeah.
That was when he was in Norman.
So you know, I guess this is what happens when you start to get success and you're not used to it. And that's what happened to KU football. I think Mark Mangino, once again, I don't know all the details. And I have some people tell me, oh, he was just horrible to his players and this and that. Well, apparently they played hard for him for five games and then they just quit on him. They were 5-0.
Yeah, I mean,
they just suddenly quit on him. I don't buy all that.
None of that changed in that season.
No.
That's not when that came.
No. Did it get worse? Probably, yeah. It probably got worse. He probably was harder on the players. Yeah, probably. And the players felt more pressure. Yeah, sure. You're ranked top 15. You're 5-0. And with each loss, things got worse. But to sit here and act like you have this tradition in football, you didn't. You know, there is a tradition. When you go back to Gale Sayers and others, there's been some great players at KU, John Riggins. But as for a tradition in the last 20, 30 years at KU, no, there's no football tradition there. There isn't. You had one great year. You went to the Orange Bowl. You had another year. You went to the Aloha Bowl and you won. against BYU and Glenn Mason. I mean, it's not a desirable job. You're not top dog on campus. It doesn't pay great. Although if you go there, you can get fired and get paid for a while. See Charlie Weiss, Turner Gill, Mark Mangino, and others.
Yeah.
And no, you do not fire David Beatty. I don't care if KU loses the rest of the games this year. You don't fire David Beatty. You at least give him a fourth year. Now, if he goes, let's say he goes 1-11 this year, and next year they go 2-10, and you want to can him at the end of four, I'll listen to that. Because there's no progress being made.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. There was a lot of stock being put in that win over Texas last year. But did anybody stop to think Texas was a mess at the time? Charlie Strong's job was on the line. There were players that cared about Charlie Strong. Others knew their season was basically over. They didn't get up for the KU game. And be honest, Texas wasn't very good. They had a lot of talent. They weren't very good. So because you beat a 5-7 Texas team, you've arrived, and now next year you're going to be bowl eligible? Anybody that thought that had sugar plums dancing in their
head. Well, that's more of an embarrassment for Texas than it is an indictment on what KU is.
I agree.
Like what they should be feeling about it. Texas is the one that should be feeling that, not KU.
You didn't beat a Texas team that Vince Young that was 11-1 or something.
Yeah.
You beat a 5-7 team that
didn't make
a bowl.
Remember when they almost beat Vince Young, though?
Mangino still remembers that. Phantom interference call and everything else. All right, so KU try to bounce back. KU football fans, all right, if you want to shift the basketball, I understand. I'm not telling you shouldn't. Bill Self got inducted the Hall of Fame on Friday. That's pretty cool. That was neat. But at the same time, you know, if you're already jumping off a wagon after game two of the season, then look in the mirror. You're not a fan. Okay, moving on. I'm being harsh a little bit, but, I mean, sometimes truth hurts. Let's move on. Disagree with any of that?
I don't.
All right, thank you.
Not at all.
I'm backed up at least.